It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. You are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle.
King David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're talking about King David. He was possibly the most powerful king in his days. From when he was a youth, his fame went abroad. He was 17 years old. He was known in the whole of their world at that time. 17-year-old boy, known all over the world. I don't think anybody could be more famous. He was not just known because he sang good music, and he was very good in music anyway. David became known all over the Syrian world the day he brought down the champion of the Philistines. He didn't just bring down Goliath. Thousands of the Philistines. And before long, the song went viral. You know the kind of song, maybe the kind that Sinash release and have 100 million views. That was the kind. The song went viral. Saul had killed his 1,000, but David had killed 10,000. Now, David from his youth was very popular, or if you want to say famous. He became king in a very young age. He built himself a beautiful palace, a storied building. It was not very common in those days. But at that time, the house of God that contained the ark of the Lord was in a tabernacle, tent house, a tent built with curtains. So David was saying in the Psalms, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There must be something about the house of the Lord that made King David, in all of his fame, from his palace, said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I could figure out that when they were entering the tabernacle in those days, they got to bend down to go through the tent door to enter into the tabernacle or a tent. You got to bend down to go in. Now, this was a king coming from a palace, and he was saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What made King David glad to go into the house of the Lord? Because he knew every time you go into the house of the Lord, you come back lifted, you come back glorified, you come back exalted, your life is promoted. You don't come back the same way you go into the house of the Lord. If you have come in here today, you will not return back the same way that you came. Your life is being lifted up. You are being built for the top. When you live here, those challenges that were unsurmountable, when you are living here, they are going to bow down to you. Because you have been lifted above all the difficulties of life. You don't come here and go back the same. In the past few weeks, we have been discussing factors for change. And we have looked already at two factors. Now, I said there are three of them that if you apply these factors, you will always produce changes. One of those factors, or the first one we looked at, was the power of mind. Mind is very powerful. If you can put your mind to useful work, you will always produce useful changes. The more you learn to put your mind to positive work, your life will start to go in a positive direction. The mind is so powerful that nothing can resist the mind. You determine what you do with your mind. And many people don't know that the most powerful engine of their life is their mind. Mind, your legs can move your body forward, but it's your mind that actually moves your life forward. A person could be lame, but if his mind is not lame, he will become a successful person in life. A lot of people, and I mean, this is good. In life, generally, we train up children, we hold them in the hands, or buy them a little walker and get them to train their legs so they can walk. But we never take time out because of ignorance to train the minds of our children. And that is the most powerful movement engine of a person's life. The legs can move everywhere, but if the mind doesn't move, the life is not moving. The more or the earlier you train yourself to use your mind and use it in the right direction, the quicker your life goes in the positive direction. Nobody will actually determine where your life goes because nobody controls your mind. Your life goes where your mind goes. So if you learn to channel your mind aright, your life will go in the right direction. And the beauty of it all is that you have the ability to actually make your mind to move. You have the ability to determine how your mind moves. Which direction it goes, how your mind behaves. Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 2. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Which means it's possible for me to have the kind of mind that Jesus had. Why? Because Apostle Paul knew that the success Jesus had in his life was because of the kind of mind that he had. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And in that same letter, Apostle Paul began to explain how your mind should function. Philippians chapter 4. As we began this series a few weeks ago, we have also explained that the second most powerful, it's not less powerful, but another powerful factor for change in the human life is the power of your word. Your word has power. We saw that when we looked in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Which means there is power in the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Which means the tongue has power. If you are hearing me today and you have a tongue, there is power inside your mouth. What makes the tongue powerful is the words that the tongue releases. It says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I've explained that to mean that they that understand the power that is in their tongue, and they have trained themselves to use the power that is in their tongue appropriately, they will enjoy the benefit of the power that is in their tongue. What have you done with your tongue? If you have not done anything here with your tongue other than just eating McDonald's and gulping some Coke, you need to learn from now how to use that tongue. There is power in the tongue that you are carrying in the mouth. In verse 20 of Proverbs 18, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. A man's life, it's not talking about his physical belly, a man's life will be filled with the increase of his own mouth. As his mouth opens to be talking, his life is being filled. If he is quiet, his life is being empty. If he's just talking no direction, his life does not have direction. Listen, if you are hearing me today, it looks like life doesn't seem to have direction. It is not God's fault. It is not because the devil is so powerful. It is because you have not used the power that is in your mouth to give the life that God has given you, the direction it deserves. And don't begin to blame yourself. God understands. That is why he brings you to begin to hear what you are hearing now. Such that the moment you leave here, even right while you are still here, you make up your mind that from today, my own mouth is going to determine the direction my life goes. You don't live your life to chances anymore. The economy of this country is dropping. People are losing jobs. Then you begin to fear. They might still stop Centrelink. If they stop Centrelink, I'm finished. Don't let your life depend on the economy of the country. They could stop Centrelink. It has nothing to do with somebody like me. Not because I'm Pastor Marvin, but because I operate with a law that is above all human laws. There is nothing on this physical earth that can hold me back. I have known from the word of God that my life is the life of the just. And by the word of God, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, he says, the path of the just. Who is the just? The person that is justified by Jesus Christ. The path of the just is like the shining light that shines brighter. It could start a little, but watch out, tomorrow is getting brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. The me you see today is the worst of me you will ever see. I get better every day. Why? There are forces, heavenly forces, that are operating in my life. And those forces, they obey to one command. The command that comes from the power that is in my own tongue. I didn't put the power there. God put it there. You see, there is power in my tongue. God told me there is power in my tongue. Since he told me I don't keep quiet, I use the power that is in my tongue. Let me tell you one thing that just happened now. You didn't know. If you knew, you would have done something for yourself. I just said my life is the life of a just that moves brighter and brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. I've just done it the second time. Each of these times that I've done it, the increase of my mouth, he said the increase of his lips, his life shall be filled. My mouth is causing some increase. Each time I say it, it's an increase. I just said it two times. Right now, my life has experienced some increase every time I said it. My life is getting better. My life is getting better. My life is getting better. Start to talk for yourself. I've taught you enough. Don't keep quiet. Marvin's life is getting better every day. He's getting better every day. Amen. What about your life? Don't wait. Start to talk now. I say my life is getting better every day. There is power in your tongue. I've shown you enough that you are not an accident on earth. You were created in the image of God. When God created you, he looked at himself to create you. I told you that the fact that you have a mind is not an accident. It's because God has a mind. And God uses his mind to cause changes. I showed you that in Genesis chapter 1. How with his own mind, he recreated the world. And how he uses his words, the power of his words. Let there be light. And there was light. It works. The Bible said, and God saw that it was so. This thing works. So when he created man in his image and gave him a mind and gave him a mouth, a tongue, and put power in that tongue. So you are not an ordinary human being. Don't look at your life ordinary. There is power in you. I'll recap those two powerful things again, those two powerful factors that produce change in anybody's life. One, your mind. to your words. Now, if you watch what God did in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, he says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I told you, he was not just parabolating, he was meditating. Don't let your life just, you just wake up. No, okay, all right. You just wake up, you take your shower, you just go about your day, and then it's evening and you come back, and your mind is not calculating nothing. The Bible said God walked upon the face of the waters. He was meditating upon the face of the waters. And I showed you why he taught Abraham how to do the same in Genesis chapter 13. He says, Abraham, lift up now the eyes of your mind. Look northward, look eastward, southward, and westward. All this land, I have given it to you. Then he says, now, don't stop at this information. Walk through the breadth and length of the land. Why? Why was he asking him to walk through the length and the breadth of the land? And I told you why. God was showing him what he himself, God, did in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water and said, I'm reframing this earth. I'm reframing this earth. I'm reframing this earth. I'm reframing this earth. He cannot be void. He cannot be shapeless. I'm making it beautiful again. I will separate the sand from the water, and I will call the land earth, and I will call the water seas. I will bring light. He was meditating how he was going to do it. And when his mind was full, from the abundance of the mind, as Jesus told us, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When God was full in his mind of how he wanted the heir to be, he began to speak. So God showed Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, I have given you the information that I'm giving you this land. Walk through the land and begin to meditate. Begin to say as you walk through the land, this land is mine. This land is mine. It might have giants now. It's irrelevant. This land is mine. I might not have a single child now. It doesn't matter. This land is mine. This land is mine. Through the length of the land, this land is mine. He meets a giant on the way. He said, let me pass. This land is mine. If God says your life is a success, it doesn't matter the challenges that come your way. I am a success. It doesn't matter. One challenge come, you look at the challenge, I am a success. Situations that look unsurmountable is irrelevant. If God says I am a success, I am a success. Your life cannot be held down because you are the image of God. God is not proud anymore of himself for being God. He wants to demonstrate his glory in your own life. He wants all the angels of heaven and all the principalities and powers to look at you and know that truly there is God in heaven. So if your life is not a beauty yet, God is still working on you. God wants to see your life a beauty. He wants to see your life a success. He wants to see your life glorious in every aspect of your life. I have this mentality. I'm never going to let the devil win. Never. In all circumstances of my life, I never let the devil win. Because I know that there is a contest between light and darkness. Every time I succeed, every time I win, God is rejoicing. Go check the scriptures. God was boasting to Satan. He said, have you seen Job, my servant? That guy who is serving me with all of his heart and everything. Have you seen him? Job said, why won't he serve you with all of his heart? You have blessed him and you have put a hedge round about him. Nobody can touch him, not even me, Satan. Nobody can touch him. Is he serving you for nothing? That's why. God said, no, try whatever you want to try. That guy, I know him, he's mine. Satan destroyed everything that man had. His business, his children, everything. Job remained faithful. God studied the book of Job. Satan couldn't go back to ask God a third time. He took his business, he took his children, he took everything. He even made him sick and the wife left home. So Job was just like a fugitive. And then at the end, God blessed Job with a double of everything. So that shows us something. God wants us to succeed every time. The devil is the one that wants us to fail every time. So in my life, the devil is never going to win. Never! You must make up your mind that you are going to succeed, even if not for yourself, for God's sake. Because God wants to take joy in your success. Until you succeed, God is not going to give up on you. If you will meditate aright, use your mind to plan where you want your life to go. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. How good you want your life to be. Am I qualified for my life to be that good? Me? With all the things, forget it. No, don't be scared. The love of God is so big that there is nothing you could ever think with your mind that God could never make happen for you. If he gave you that mind, there is nothing that mind can think that God cannot make happen. I'll tell you the third factor for change. Mark chapter 11. Someday, Jesus was in Jerusalem carrying out his ministry, attending to people, healing the sick, preaching the gospel. And when it was evening time, he needed to go find a place to rest. So he took his disciples with him, 12 of them, and maybe some more, and he decided to go to Bethany, where Lazarus, the guy that was sick and he died, 4 days he was brought back to life. So where Lazarus was, Jesus decided to go pass the night there. And he took his disciples with him and they were traveling. Bethany is a short distance away from Jerusalem. Just a few hours away. So they went to Bethany. On their way to Bethany, Jesus was very hungry. He had spent the whole day doing ministry. Now he was very hungry. Now Jesus was traveling to Bethany. And on his way, he was very hungry. And he saw a fig tree ahead. And he desired to eat fruit of this fig tree. But when he got there, there was no fruit on the tree. The Bible said because it was not the time, it was not the season for fig tree, for the fruit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It was not the season for fig to produce fruit. But when Jesus got there, there was no fruit. So it was not it was not strange. There was no fruit. There was no fruit because it was not the season. When Jesus got there, he didn't find no fruit on the tree. He cursed the tree. He said, "No man will eat of you again forever." And Jesus got past and he went to Bethany. They passed the night in Bethany. Of course, we expect that they will have eaten dinner, maybe breakfast before they left in the morning. And then they went back again to Jerusalem because Jesus needed to continue what he was doing in Jerusalem. On their way to Jerusalem, Peter and the other disciples observed, "Wait a sec, the tree Jesus cursed yesternight is dried to the root just yesternight." And Jesus had passed. "Pastor, one sec." He said, "What is it?" He said, "The tree you cursed yesterday is dried to the root." Wow. Mark 11, verse 21. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Another translation said, "is dried to the root." It's withered away. Verse 22, Jesus answered. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Now this word Jesus said to them, just one sentence, is a lot that could change anybody's life. He says, "Have faith in God." In other words, there is not really a problem in your life. Jesus went to Bethany, the same Bethany, some couple of months later, and he was told that Lazarus, whom he loved, is sick and is near to death. And Jesus said, "Oh, don't worry, he won't die. With this sickness, he won't die. Don't worry about it." And Jesus stayed where he was doing what he was doing. And those guys that they sent to Jesus turned back and went home happy. The master said, "He's not going to die after all. Though he was very sick, he's not going to die. Peradventure, by the time we get back home, he's well." Because the master said he's not going to die. So they got back home, rushing back home. When they got home, they met people mourning. "Ah, what?" They said, "He's dead." "Ah, he has died 2 days before those guys got back home." Ah. The two of them, probably they were two. This one looked at this. The other one looked at the other one. "Did we hear what he said? I thought he said that the sickness is not unto death. How come he's dead? I'm sure they couldn't even tell the message that Jesus said anymore. Because it doesn't tally. He's not going to die, but he's dead. In fact, maybe as he was talking, his words killed him. The way it looks like now, I don't understand. Somebody said, I've not been giving tithe before. Only last Sunday I gave tithe. They now gave me a fine. I don't understand this kind of tithe. The moment he said he's not going to die, the man died. I don't understand these things. 2 days later, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to Bethany. He said, okay, what are we going to do? He said, Lazarus is sleeping. Let's go to Bethany. Lazarus is sleeping. They said, Master, if he's sleeping, that's all right. Why do we have to go all the way to Bethany because Lazarus is sleeping? Anyway, if you want us to go with you, we can go. Since Lazarus is sleeping, we'll go wake him up when we get there. Jesus says, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. They heard him too when he said he will not die. But he's telling them now, 2 days later, that he has died. Yes, this is confusion. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. It does not matter how things look like. It is what God's word has said about your life that is the real truth. When Jesus got to Bethany, he said, where is he? They said, Master, if you had come earlier, our brother would not have died. And Jesus wept. People thought he was crying because he loved Lazarus. Oh, see how he loved him. He's crying. No, Jesus was weeping at their ignorance. If you have faith in God, you don't have a problem. It doesn't matter what your situation is. If you have faith in God, you don't have a problem. He said, show me where you have laid him. They said, Master, by now he stinketh. He said, roll the stone away. Didn't I tell you before that I am the resurrection? And I am the life. Brothers and sisters, for as long as God is in your life, you don't really have any problem. There is a solution for every one of them. Amen. He said, roll the stone away. And then they rolled the stone away. The Bible said Jesus called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the Bible said he that was dead came hopping out. That guy was skipping. He never went to gym before. He came back bouncing. The dead man came out bouncing because they wrapped him with grave clothes. So he has to hop out that way. Whatever it was that may have been dead in your life is coming back to life. It's 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 coming back to life. Jesus didn't shout because Lazarus was dead. No. There's no shouting you will shout that we wake a dead man. Jesus shouted because the guy was sleeping. You shout to call a sleeping person. So it's irrelevant how things look like. It's what God's word said that is the truth about your life. The third factor of change. Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23. And Jesus said, Father, he says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There are two factors Jesus has just demonstrated there. The power of your mind or your heart, because those two things are connected. On a Wednesday, we are going to explain that further. He says, whosoever. He didn't say if any pastor. That's not what he said. He didn't say if any Jesus Christ. That's not what he said. Mark chapter 11, that was where he spoke to the fig tree. So he explained to them why it happened the way he said. But he said, have faith in God. Whosoever, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. In other words, if your mind has meditated enough and is so strong on what is in that mind, and you say it with your mouth, nothing can stop it from happening. Then Jesus goes further. He has just released the two factors of change. Then he goes on to release the third factor or change. Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, he said, because of the power of these two factors of your mind and of word, there is power in mind, there is power in word. It says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. God is saying, what things soever, anything. I told you, don't be afraid to think with your mind. He says, what things soever you desire. When you pray, that is the third factor of change. If your mind and words don't seem to be strong enough, you have not trained your mind enough, you have not trained your words enough, you can switch to this third power. You can ask God to do it. He said, whatsoever you will say with your mouth and you will not doubt with your heart, if you will believe that those things will happen, the power that is in your mind and the power of the word that you speak, it will drive even a mountain to be removed from wherever it is and be cast into the sea. It will happen as such. He says, because of the power of the mind and the power of the word, you can ask God to do something and it will be done. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. What things soever, if you can ask God, and guess what? As you are asking God, you are using words, and those words are powerful. You can ask God for something even now. What is that thing you require a change for in your life?
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, "Oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised Him from the dead, and He is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen." Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at info@cesydney.org. That is info@cesydney.org. God bless you.